Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 25th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And for those of you scoring at home, that's 5-25-25. I just thought I'd point that out. And this is also the sixth Sunday of Easter. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. It's good to be back behind the microphone after a couple of weeks away. And so I think we ought to just get going. Let's do what we do around here. We begin in a mindset of gratitude, of thankfulness to God for all that is good and true and right and pure and worthy and lovely. And we begin all of that celebration by taking in a deep breath. Take one in and hold on to it. Hold on to that breath. The gift of life. Savor it. And let it go. And as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places and the opportunities that light you up inside, that fill you with joy. That favorite place in your home. That place by the lake or the seaside or up in the mountains or the coffee shop on the corner, wherever that is. Just, these are good things. These are gifts from Almighty God. Perhaps turn your face to the sky, open your arms out wide. Thank you, God. So in this posture and in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin where you found today's podcast on that line. Follow it over to the left margin, and just down below the line, you'll see a little box that says Sermon Notes. If you click in there, the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Gracious God, we gather in your presence, seeking your blessing and the radiant light of your face. As we come together, may your ways be made known among us, and your saving power be realized in our hearts. We join our voices with all the peoples of the earth to offer you our praise. Let our hearts be filled with gladness as we sing for joy, knowing that you govern with equity and guide us with your loving hand. We thank you for the abundance of your creation, for the earth's yielding and your continued blessings. May our reverence for you extend to the ends of the earth, drawing all souls into your divine embrace. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I'm going away, and I'm coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and dwelling among us. And we pray, dear God, that in this time of contemplation and reflection, that you would indeed abide with us, that you'd save us from misinterpretation, save us from distraction, so that we could truly receive this good word, that we could be inspired, that we could be encouraged, that we may come to believe. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, the liturgical calendar tells us that today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, May 25th, the year of our Lord, 2025. Calendar also reminds us, those of us here in the United States, that this is Memorial Day weekend. And I can see evidence of that as I look out the window here in the sanctuary. The beach is just buzzing. I don't know if you can hear the cars that seem to be just endlessly streaming by. People are out really enjoying the beauty of Pensacola Beach today. Summer is coming. This weekend signifies the beginning of the summer season, the summer tourist season here, to be sure. This time is also a time of graduation ceremonies for all ages. Most often, I think, in high schools and in colleges and universities, there are commencement speeches given. Somebody gets up, maybe it's an alum or some prestigious speaker that comes in to offer some words of wisdom to the students. Often those words are considered for a minute and then they fade into memory. or are just lost in the wind. We have something of a commencement speech here from Jesus, but it's much, much more than that, actually. It's often referred to as Jesus' farewell discourse, his final teaching, his repeating themes that he's been preaching and teaching now for a while, trying to help his disciples understand who he is, why he's come, where this is all going, and the responsibility and the role and the anointing that they've been given as disciples and apostles. Here in this 14th chapter, Jesus begins this gathering during the high holidays, the festival of unleavened bread. Jesus gathered with his disciples in this upper room, and in John's telling, he begins by washing the feet of his students and teaching about that, helping them to prepare for this life in the faith, what it means to be a disciple, an apostle. He illustrates that the last would be first and the first would be last. Do you see what I'm doing here? Your rabbi's washing your feet. Do you get the significance of that? This is what it means. This is to be an A student. This is what it means to graduate with honors from this discipleship. But he carries on and he lets them know that one will betray him and one, this star student, will deny him. But there's more. I'm going away. The rulers of this world will take me away. But hold fast, take heart, don't let go. Everything that we've done up to this point, these 3 years together, every minute of it has made a difference. Every minute of it has made an impression on your life, has softened your heart, has expanded the way that I need you to think about who I am, why I've come, and your participation in everything that we've done together. This preparation for farewell and a promise of help, it's too much, he knows. Jesus knows this will be too much for them to do on their own. They can't do it on their own. And he counsels them that even he has not done it on his own. If they've been impressed with his teaching, the words that come from his mouth, that when he teaches, he sounds as if he's the author of the law and the prophets. But he says, these aren't my words. These are the words of the Creator God, of God the Father. They come through me. I love him. He loves me. We love you. And when you love us, we are in this unified new kingdom on earth. I get ahead of myself. Let's go to the text. We'll actually go a little bit before today's reading. We started at verse 23 of chapter 14, but let's go to the 18th verse. Jesus teaching, I will not leave you orphaned. This is the promised help that he's giving. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world? Jesus said to him, this is where we pick up today's reading. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And here's a point. You can read a text so many times and things don't necessarily jump out to you. I've read this, I don't know how many times, but I've found myself drawn to this next line. After all that, let me reread it. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And this is the point I want to underscore. And we will come to them and make our home with them. The Father and the Son abiding with those who love. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. It's that point that I was just making. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. That seems to make sense. If I have no relationship with Jesus, if I've never heard of him, have no sense of connection to him, I wouldn't hold his teaching in my heart. I wouldn't keep them. And Jesus reiterates where his words come from. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from my Father who sent me. I've said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. This, he speaks to his graduating class while he is off to the fulfillment of this mission and promise, the fullness of this covenant relationship with God the Father. In my absence, fear not. Yes, you will need help. And what he's promising him, them, is the same Spirit that enabled him to teach and preach and heal will be given to them. How is it that we could remember this? How is it that we might remember it well enough to write it down so that future generations could tell the story? The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Knowing that the next 24 hours, the next several weeks, will feel a bit like hell for them. Will be so disorienting. But as they gather, as they're blessed with his words and the memories and the fact that he repeated essential things over and over, the Spirit comes. And we'll celebrate the raucous coming of that Spirit in a couple of weeks. But let me carry on before I go on too long here. I've said these things to you while I am still here, still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And here's another thing for a triple underscore. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. He gives as pure gift. He gives as pure grace, expecting nothing other than they give away what they've received. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. That's the end of the reading. We go on a little bit beyond the lectionary reading. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Within a matter of hours, the rulers of this world were coming for him to take him away, imagining that they could snuff out the light that shined in the darkness. But the darkness could not overcome. This ruler of the world has no power over me, Jesus says. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be going, he says. That's the point of all of this. If there's anything that we've heard or come to understand or believe, this is among the most essential. That when we speak in love, when we find ourselves in the midst of actions of charity and compassion, when we recall the life, death, resurrection, the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is not us. Even Jesus says of himself that he is not good. There is only one who is good. That is his Father in heaven. That we, in actions of love and faith, are simply agents of God's good grace, inspired by the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's so much here. But as he parts company with his disciples physically, prepares them for the road ahead, inspires them through the Holy Spirit to write it down so that the Gospel of John, the other Gospels, the letters of Paul endure for us, they prepare us as well. They prepare us for the misdeeds of the rulers of this world. They remind us that these rulers have no real power over us. But we are called to do as the Father in heaven commands, so that the world will know we are Christians by our love. It's like the old song. I've gone on too long. It is a joy to be back here with you. I really highly commend and encourage that you spend some time in this 14th chapter of John. Read it a line at a time. Pray over each line. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And you will find that there is an abundance of good news. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. Pray to you, O God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come seeking your presence. We come seeking your forgiveness. And we confess that we sin and we fall short. We get distracted and afraid. And we say things we shouldn't say. We're quiet when we ought to speak up. And we do things impulsively and foolishly sometimes. Or we sit idle when we ought to be taking some kind of action. You know these things. But you promised us that we come to you. When we come to you and we confess them, with all humility and all faith, that you forgive us, that you settle things with us. So we claim the promises of our faith, and we thank you for blessing us with grace and peace We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand. On this Memorial Day weekend, we celebrate the true spirit of sacrifice. Those who have died in service to our country, to the best of its ideals, to the best of its mission and purpose. And we pray, God, for this your good world. We pray over its leaders, the people in positions of power and influence, that they would keep your word, that they would inspire others to do the same. And we pray for those of us who don't feel like we have much in the way of influence or power. Some of us just barely hanging on. We pray that you just abide with us, come alongside us. That this helper, this advocate, this Holy Spirit that you speak of would catch fire in our hearts. Fill us with your peace. Help us to radiate your grace and your charity and your compassion. And God, you know that we all keep different kinds of lists, to-do lists, things that we're very grateful for, that we look forward to, things we might have written down on our calendars, and then there are lists of things that are real hard. Friends that are sick, surgeries that are coming up, bills that need to be paid, you know what this list is. And so we take a moment, oh God, to sit before you quietly and to share these lists with you and find assurance that you hear our prayers. Meet us here in this quiet moment, we pray. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we pray that you'd hear us as we say together a prayer that Jesus taught us. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a renewed sense of the love of God burning within us. manifesting itself in acts of charity and service and compassion, in moments of prayer and silence and song and worship. God is with us. Our good God, the God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us and bids us peace. Let us go in peace. Amen.